Thank you for joining us on the New Bridge Radio Show. You can also catch us online at newbridgeradio.com. Find us on Facebook under New Bridge Radio Show or follow us on Twitter at New Bridge Radio. Now let's connect you with what's next.
Welcome back to the New Bridge Radio Show on WLTKDB. Let's talk. I am your host, Kevin Mackey, and we are connecting you to what's next in your life. And we're here to remind you that you are important to this world, and we sure are glad to have you along on this episode of the New Bridge Radio Show. Remember, you can catch the show live on the station website. Just head on over to www.wltkdb.com and you can join in the chat on the page. Also, you can catch us on YouTube and Facebook Live. To find us, all you need to do is go to the search bar and type in WLTKDB on either of those platforms, and you'll be able to view our show. Also, don't forget, coming Saturday, October 30th at 3 p.m. Pacific, it's our first virtual gallery reading with Pete Orbea, Danette Renee, Missy Hart, and Nicole Strickland of WLTKDB. Tickets are on sale on the WLTKDB website, and you do not want to miss this event and have the opportunity to get answers to the questions you've been wanting to ask. Tonight on the New Bridge Radio Show, I am very pleased to have motivational speaker and author, as well as a fantastic weight loss and wellness coach, Oliver Mancando. He is the author of The Plant-Based Nutrition, How It's Going to Change Your Life. How are you doing, Oliver? Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Kevin, for having me.
Well, you're welcome. I am excited to have you because I like having people who connected to what was next in their life and who found something life-changing. And you are one of those people. In 2016, you had a remarkable discovery while watching a program. Tell us a little bit about what happened and what you were watching.
Yeah, what I was watching was a program by an Indian yogi. And basically was saying that if he was demonstrating on that program, and the title was How Consciously Do We Eat? And in the program, it was saying that if we stop eating meat and all the animal product, we will be able to reduce 70% of the chronic diseases in the world. And at that time, I was suffering from high blood pressure. I had lots of dandruffs. I had massive headaches every day or every other day. I had chest pain, back pain, abscesses, joint pain. And at that time, my weight was 220 pounds. So when I listened to that program, I decided that I will put that in practice and see how it's going to be with me. Yeah, so that's how I started this journey.
Yeah. When I was reading your bio, I saw a term in your bio that I wasn't familiar with. Yeah. When I saw how much you weighed and how much you lost, what is a stone?
Yeah. So basically, it's the unit of weight here in the UK. Instead of using pound, here in the UK we use stone.
I see.
Yeah. So for example, 15 and a half stone equal 220 pounds.
I see.
And if you have to put that in kilogram, it's 100 kilos. So that's a unit of weight. Yeah.
Oh, nice. I was like, what? How many stones? Yeah. So, when you started this journey, one of the remarkable things you start out with in the book is you ask yourself the question of what kind of machine are human beings? What should they be eating? What is the right fuel to put in their bodies? And you found out there's a huge difference between carnivores and herbivores. Yeah. And the similarities between the two. Just for our audience, tell us a little bit about that discovery.
Yeah, so basically what I've discovered is that human beings relate more to herbivores rather than carnivores. So for example, if you look at carnivores, you look at the mouth region, you will see that carnivores, they've got two piercing canines. The incisors are short and the molars are practically not developed because carnivores, they've only got one movement in their jaws. They can only cut and swallow. They don't chew their food. So for people who have got dogs or cats, they can see that. So they just cut the meat and they swallow that, they don't chew. But when you look at herbivores, they have to cut and chew their food. And this is exactly what we human beings, we have to do. So in this instance, we can see the similitude between human beings and herbivores. And when you look at carnivores as well, you will see that when they want to drink water, they lick up the water. But herbivores, they suck up the water. And this is exactly what we human beings, we do. So again, here you can see the similitude between human beings and herbivores. And when you look at carnivores, they pant, and that's the way for them to regulate the temperature. But herbivores, they sweat through their skin. And this is exactly what we human beings, we do. We sweat through our skin, just like herbivores. And when you look at carnivores, you will see that the gestation period is 15 weeks or less. So for example, a wolf, if you want to have a cub, it's gonna take 9 weeks. For a cheetah, it's 13 weeks, and for a lion, it's 15 weeks. But for big herbivores, it's 34 weeks or more. So for example, a cow, to have a calf, it's gonna take 40 weeks. For a horse, it's 47 weeks. For a giraffe, it's 60 weeks. And for the human beings, it's 40 weeks. So again, here you see that the human beings fall in the category of big herbivores and not carnivores. And when you look as well, you will see that carnivores, they've got the gestation period is very short and they've got multiple births. So for example, a lioness will have multiple cubs at one go. And when those cubs are born, they are blind and they will start seeing after a week or 2 weeks. But when you look at herbivores, big herbivores, they've only got one baby at a time. For example, a cow will have one calf, an elephant will have one calf. And when those calves are born, they are not blind. You look at us human beings, we've got one kid as well at a time, rarely twins. And when our babies are born, they can see straight away, just like herbivores. So again, here you see the similitude between human beings and herbivores. And when you look again at carnivores, they've got shorter, the intestine are very short, which makes something like three times the length of their bodies. You look at herbivores, they've got a very long intestine, which are six times the length of their bodies. And when you look at us human beings, we've got longer intestine, just like herbivores. Our intestine are 9 meters or 27 feet long. So it's very long. And when you look at carnivores as well, kidneys are very powerful because when you eat meat, it gets transformed into uric acid. But obviously for us human beings, we haven't got that powerful kidneys. And there's an enzyme, which is called ptyalin. That enzyme enables the digestive process to stop in the mouth region. And only human beings and herbivores have got that enzyme. No carnivores have got that. And when you look again, you will see that carnivores, their stomach acid is 20 times stronger than human beings, because like I said, they've only got one movement in their jaws. So they need very powerful stomach acid to be able to digest the meat, the bones and all that. So when you look at all this, you will see that human beings are herbivores. And to be more precise, we are frugivores. And the fuel used for human beings are fruit, vegetables, legumes, grain, nuts and seed. And when you look, for example, at the gorilla, we share 99% of the same DNA. But what do gorilla eat? They eat fruit, vegetables, and tender roots. They do not eat meat.
Right.
How come we share 99% of the same DNA, which means that our digestive tract are practically the same, but gorilla do not eat meat. So that's exactly the discovery that I've made.
Exactly. And what I found interesting is when you mentioned the jaw movement, and I was like, yeah, he's right. You know, our jaw does move multiple ways.
Yes.
So when you started making this shift into your own life, how did it progress? Did you move slowly to an all vegetarian diet, or did you just take smaller steps to get there?
No, I went cold turkey. Yeah. So basically, the program that I told you that I was watching by that Indian yogi, I was watching that on a certain Wednesday. And when the program was finished, I said to my wife that I will stop eating meat. So it was Wednesday. On Thursday, I came back from work and I told her to cook for me my last meal of meat. And it's been 5 years now. I've not touched meat or any animal product, dairy product and all that. So for the first week, you go through, for most people, you go through what is called a healing crisis, where during that week, I remember I had, for 3 days, I had massive headaches that I've not had before. I had more skull sore. I had my joints started to ache even more. I had more abscesses. And that's how the body detoxified. It makes you sick to become better. And then after a week, all this healing crisis stopped. And by the end of the week, I lost 11 pounds. And I said, oh, this is great. And then I continued. And within after 4 months, because I was diagnosed with high blood pressure, I went to the doctor and my blood pressure was gone. And the doctor told me that I would have that for the rest of my life. And they wanted to put me on medication as well for the rest of my life. But after 4 months, it was all gone. And after 9 months, I lost 77 pounds. So that's basically the changes that I've seen in my life when I started to adopt this vegan lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. So when you first started out, was there a lot of experimentation with different foods? Like, did you end up trying foods that you'd never even heard of?
Yes, definitely. So because when I took that decision, I didn't even know what I'm going to replace all the stuff that I was eating with. So for example, I discovered the lentils. I didn't know that they existed. Tofu, the tempeh, the zucchini, there's lots of stuff that I didn't know that existed. And now that I'm on a plant-based nutrition, yes, I've experimented with all this stuff, and especially to cook, because I didn't know how to cook them. I had to buy a plant-based recipe book, and I started to learn, and it was by you make mistakes and stuff like that. Maybe you cook this way and it's not very good. The next time you change. So it was by that way that I started to learn how to cook. Yeah.
So now that you've been doing this for a number of years, what is it that you've come to be very fond of? Like, what has been the best food that you've discovered in this new way of living?
Yeah, my best food is I like plantain banana with the zucchini, the sweet corn, and the tofu. That's very delicious.
I really
like that. Yes.
The tofu kind of surprises me because I've only had it once. And it was very, maybe it was just cooked incorrectly.
Yeah. because if you cook that correctly, it's really delicious. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. To me, it did really have a, well, it really didn't have a taste.
Yeah, you need to put some spices and stuff like that. And yes, it's going to be really delicious.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, the other thing that you did, as well as getting rid of meat products, is you also got rid of dairy as well.
Yeah. Yeah, so why did I stop with dairy? So when you look at dairy, you will see that in the entire creation, man is the only species to drink milk from another species. You will never, ever see that. You will never see, for example, a cat drinking dog's milk or a goat drinking cow's milk, because every single milk is specific to its own species. So for example, if you look at the rabbit milk, you will see that it has 10 times more proteins than the human milk. And why is that? It's because when the baby rabbit is born, it's so small that it needs to double its size within the first week if it wants to sustain life. You look at the seal's milk, it contains 40% fat because the baby seal needs to build that fat very quickly because it's very cold in the North Pole. You look at the human's milk, it contains lots of lactalbumin because we need to produce amino acid. You look at the cow's milk, it contains lots of casein. So you can see that every single milk is specific to its own species.
Right.
And when you look as well, you will see that when the calf is born, it weighs something like 30 kilos. And within 3 months, you need to triple that weight. And later on in life, it will become a big bull or a big cow. So in the cow's milk, you've got loads and loads of growth hormones and loads of calcium. And when we people will drink cow's milk, our body will analyze and see that now we've got too much calcium. And right. when we go to urinate, we're going to lose that excess calcium to the expense of our own calcium. And in the cow's milk as well, we've got too much phosphorus. So again, our body will have to neutralize that phosphorus. And to do so, it's going to leach out the calcium from our bones, our teeth, and our muscles. And that's why people start suffering from osteoporosis, which is a condition which makes your bone brittle. And you start suffering from the inflammation of the joint. And you will notice that in the countries where the milk intake is very high, you will see a high incidence of osteoporosis as well. And when you compare as well, you see, you look at the animals, you will see that there's no animals, adult animals, who drink milk. It's only human beings who drink milk when they're adults. And there's an enzyme which is called lactase, which enables people to digest the milk. But when we reach the age between 2 and 4 years old, that enzyme ceases to be produced, which right. is suggestive that we need to stop drinking milk. And that's why you will see that 70% of the world population is lactose intolerant. And when I say lactose intolerant, it doesn't necessarily mean that these people will start suffering from severe allergic reactions or stuff like that. It manifests in a subtle way by chronic fatigue, chronic inflammation, digestive problems. And when you look at milk, it creates loads and loads of problems. For example, you will have anemia, ear infection, eczema, asthma, osteoporosis, cancer, obesity, appendicitis, all this is from the dairy product. And when you look as well, you will see that when we drink cow's milk, boys and girls will go to puberty at a very early age. And when they go to puberty at a very early age, that their body starts producing estrogen in excess. And an increase of estrogen is linked to cancer. And that's why you will see later on in life, these girls will start suffering from breast cancer, uterus cancer, ovarian cancer. And for boys, it's going to be prostate cancer. And that's why I've stopped using milk and dairy products for those particular reasons.
Well, you mentioned one thing in the book about the milk that kind of made me unnerved a bit. And you talked about how cows are milked daily.
Yeah.
And so I'll let you talk about it, but it was like, oh, gross, that's disgusting. So yeah. What happens to cows when they get milked every day?
Yeah, when they got milk every day, they start having some sores, and these sores will start leaking pus, and this pus will get mixed with the milk, even though they say that they will pasteurize that, but that pus will stay in. And when we drink the milk, basically we are drinking cow's pus. Basically, that's
right.
what it is.
Right, which to me is disgusting.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've never been a heavy milk drinker, you know, most of my life. As a matter of fact, when I was younger, I had so many allergies, I wasn't allowed to drink milk. So in my early school days, all the kids would have, you know, they would go through a milk line, and I never got milk. I always had to drink juice, but which was really terrible when they all got chocolate milk on the chocolate milk day.
Yeah.
Did you also give up cheese and all of those other things as well?
Yeah, stop every single dairy product, even the cheese. Yeah, every single one of them, because they come from the same source. And yeah, that's why I have to stop everything.
Yes. Well, we're going to have to pause for a moment. We're going to have to step away, and we're going to have to hear from our sponsors. But we will be right back on the New Bridge Radio Show.
WLTK DB. Let's talk.
Believe in yourself and create your own destiny. Don't fear failure.
Patreon is a place for creators. We're one of them. Visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/WLTKDB. Check out all the unique support tiers we offer. You can get early release episodes, station mugs and t-shirts, free station service work, and much more. Help the station reach its $1,000 per month goal to make our station totally ad-free. Patreon.com/WLTKDB. We appreciate your support.
Give yourself permission to succeed, or make as many mistakes as you need to.
The New Bridge Radio Show. Even your Virgo friends will like it.
Every atom of your being is resonating with joy and happiness.
Welcome back to the New Bridge Radio Show on WLTKDB Let's Talk. I am your host, Kevin Mackey, and we are here today with wellness expert and weight loss coach, Oliver Mancondo, and we have just been talking about cow's milk and some of the terrible things you probably never wanted to know about it. But I wanted to ask you about milk substitutes, Oliver. When you gave up milk, did you try any of the other milk alternatives, like soy milk or almond milk?
Yes, I've tried both of them. I've tried soy milk, almond milk, rice milk, hemp seed milk. Yes, all of them are very good. But like I keep saying, they are still processed food. So you need to take them in moderation. But they are a lot better than cow's milk. Yeah, yes. Because they're made from plant-based. They are plant-based, yeah. So that's mm-hmm. what I'm using, yeah.
Now, in addition to, alternative milks, there is a lot of work on making vegan-style cheese. Have you ever tried that as well?
Yes, for example, today I've had a piece of it, yes. Yeah, so when you eat that, they taste just like cheese.
Really?
Yes. Just like cheese. So if you close your eyes, you eat that, you will not even taste the difference. They will taste the same.
Yeah. So, yeah. You know, after reading your book, I was inspired. And so I made lunch for a friend. And in the United States, we have a vegan meat called Beyond Belief.
Yeah.
And you know what? So I bought these Beyond Belief hamburgers.
Yeah.
And cooked them on the grill. And it was interesting because they cooked exactly like, like regular beef hamburgers. And what was interesting, and I just gave it to my friend, didn't tell him at all that it wasn't even regular meat. It was a plant based meat. And you know what was interesting, Oliver, is my friend didn't notice at all.
really
because it is it is so I don't know how they did this. Have you ever seen it? When you cook it on the grill, it looks like they put something red in it. It looks just like regular hamburger cooking. And I had never had it before, and I was actually shocked by the taste because it is almost perfect.
So that's why when people stop eating all the animal product, the dairy product, their meat and vegan meat and dairy product, mm-hmm. but vegan ones, so they can easily replace that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But what I keep saying is that even when you replace that, it needs to be a transition food, because at the end of the day, they are still processed food. And processed food, mm-hmm. they've got coloring, additive, preservative, which are substances not recognized by the body, and they create havoc. So if you use that as a transition food, that's good. And after that, you need really to eat whole food. And mm-hmm. sometimes, you can have this food. That's not a problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you don't have to eat that constantly, because there are a lot of unhealthy vegans, because that's what they need all the time. And that's not good.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of people will say, "Oh, if you go vegetarian, you're not going to get any protein." And you mentioned this in your book. There are other proteins that vegetable proteins that are better. And what did you discover was suitable? What did you like when you switched over?
Yeah. So when people ask the question about the protein, the answer that I keep asking them is that if you look, for example, at the elephant, is the biggest land animal. It's got all of its protein met, but what does it eat? Right. Only grass, leaves.
Right.
Yeah. You look at the gorilla, very powerful. It only eats fruit, vegetables, and tender roots. Where does it get its protein to be so strong? Mm-hmm. So we get our protein from stuff like lentils, beans, spinach, all this stuff. You've got your protein. And when you look, for example, at the mother's milk, when a woman is breastfeeding, there's only 2% of protein, only 2%. And after a year, the baby will double its size. So we don't really need too much protein.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So by just eating fruit, vegetables, you will have all your protein requirement met.
Mm.
Yeah.
So another thing you talk about in the book is pH balance.
Yeah.
And can you touch on that? Because I think that this was really important for weight loss, was the pH balance.
Yeah. So the pH balance, basically, it is that when you eat the normal food, your pH needs to be around 7.3, 4, something like that. And when we eat the animal product, the dairy product, the pH will go under 7 and our body become acidic. Mm-hmm. And when your body become acidic, it become a field for pathogen to thrive. But when you eat the right food, the whole food, the fruit, vegetables, the legumes, grain, nuts, and seed, your pH will be above 7. And in that environment, it's difficult for you to become sick. It's like for me, for the past 5 years, I've not been sick a single day, not right. even the cold, the flu, the cough, nothing at all. And you can see, as I've said, all the chronic diseases that I've had are completely gone. Mm-hmm. So you need really to eat the food so that your pH will be above 7. If it's underneath, it's going to create you lots of problems.
Yes, and you mentioned some of the foods that are terrible in raising acidity in yourself. And I was shocked at the list.
Yeah.
I think I was eating every single one. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
So it really made me think. So when you started changing over, what was the biggest revelation as your health started to improve? What started feeling better immediately?
Immediately, the headaches. Because like I said, I had headaches every single day or every other day. And in fact, I had to have some painkillers in my wallet all the time. Mm. So that was the first thing that I noticed. And after a week, like I said, I did lose 11 pounds. And after that, I was starting to feel loss of energy. When I was waking up in the morning, I was full of energy, no aches, no pains. And as soon as the most of the time was passing by, my health was getting better and better. So mm-hmm. that was the stuff that I noticed straight away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it was really unbearable to have headaches all the time. Yeah.
So let me ask you this as well. Did you also have a microwave oven before you started this?
Yes. Yeah, but now I've already thrown my microwave. I don't use that anymore because it's very dangerous.
Yeah, you had this in the book and I didn't know this. Tell us what you've found out about microwave cooking.
Yeah. So when basically you take the food, you put that in the microwave and you press the start button, the molecule forming the food will start moving at an incredible speed.
Right.
And the movement will create the friction and the friction will create the heat. So when you get your food out of the microwave, they will be hot or cooked and they will look like just normal food. But what you don't know is that the molecular structure will be completely destroyed, and you might as well eat cardboard. And when you eat microwave food, it's going to give you the cancer, cataract, high blood pressure, heart disease, reproductive disorders, and the list goes on. So really, people who really want to have to be in charge of their health, among the stuff that they need to do, they need to throw the microwave away. And if you look, I read something that, for example, in Russia, mm-hmm. in the 60s or 70s, they've had a big study made on the microwave, and basically it was forbidden to use the microwave at that time. But now with the commercial and all that, they've come back. But at that time, it was prohibited because they could see that it was really dangerous for the human health.
Yeah, I here in the United States, there literally are people who that's all they cook with. They only use the microwave, and they only eat microwave food.
Yeah, and if you look at them, you will see that their health is not great.
Right. And you mentioned, you can do an experiment. You can microwave water in the microwave and then give it to a plant, and the plant will die.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And so all of these things about food and the way we've been trained and taught food have been unbelievably bad.
yeah, definitely. So most of the stuff that we've learned about food mm-hmm. are completely upside down. Completely. Right. Yeah.
Right. So another point you make in the book that I feel is important for people to understand is, a lot of people will say, you can't eat fruit because it's high in sugar. And you mentioned that there's a huge difference between refined sugar and fruit sugar.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about that briefly? So
yeah, definitely. So basically what people need to understand is that what is really bad is the refined sugar. Because when you take the refined sugar, you eat that, it goes straight into your bloodstream, and you will have a very high spike of insulin. And when you keep putting your body in that state, you will have too much insulin in your system. And basically having lots of insulin will shorten your lifespan.
Right.
But when you look at the fruit sugar, which is completely different, it takes another way. So basically what happened, for example, you take a fruit, you eat that. The fruit will go in your stomach. It will get digested. And then it will go into your small intestine. And in the small intestine, there's some spread like stuff, which is called villi. And this villi will absorb the nutrient into the bloodstream, and only then the sugar will be in your blood and will be in small quantities, and your body will have to just produce very little of insulin. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes a very big difference. It's like, for example, me, I was pre-diabetic, not pre-diabetic, but my blood sugar was at 41. And when you reach 42, you are considered as pre-diabetic. Mm-hmm. But now I'm eating tons of fruit, but my blood sugar is gone to 37. So
very good.
The fruit sugar doesn't give diabetes or stuff like that. That's the big difference.
Mm-hmm.
The sugar from the fruit are perfectly fine. They've got no problem. But if you look at my brother, he was pre-diabetic. He's on a vegan diet as well, vegan lifestyle. He was pre-diabetic. Now he's pre-diabetes is gone. It eats tons of fruit just like me.
Mm-hmm.
So the fruit sugar is not a problem. It's the refined sugar that you see in biscuits, cookies, white flour, white rice, all this stuff.
Yeah. So your family switched. I forgot about your family switched nearly the same time you did. And not only did you see huge results when you changed to plant-based nutrition, your wife did as well.
Yeah. So basically what happened, after 2 weeks, mm-hmm. my wife saw the changes that I was going through, and she said that she was going to change as well, because at that time her weight was 240 pounds. And she went on board as well, and now she's lost 99 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. She's like £99. And after a month, we saw that it was very good for us. And we sat our kids, because I've got four kids, we sat them down and we spoke to them. We told them that we are going to stop eating meat, animal product, dairy product, and all this stuff. At first, they were not happy. They were really unhappy. But now they get used to it. And for example, I've got my son. He had eczema for 11 years. We've seen doctors, they prescribe all sorts of creams, but there were no changes. But when we adopted this plant-based nutrition, it only took 2 weeks for his entire eczema to disappear completely. Only 2 weeks, but we were with the doctor for 11 years.
That is a huge change. Huge change. And your brother also did it as well.
Yeah, my brother as well. His weight was 227 pounds. Mm-hmm. And now his weight is 154 pounds. So he lost 73 pounds. Mm-hmm. And just like me, he's not sick anymore. All the chronic disease that he had was completely gone. For example, he was suffering from psoriasis. Mm-hmm. And he had the psoriasis for 8 years. And he was put on very strong steroid. And the doctor told him that he will have that for the rest of his life. Today, the psoriasis is gone completely.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. So it's not only the food that changed you. Also in the book, you mention sodium fluoride, which that was something I have never heard before. I was like, but it is a good point to talk a little bit about fluoride.
Yeah. Yeah, if you look at fluoride, basically what they do, they put the fluoride in the water. And they say that if they put fluoride in the water, it will keep people from not having decay tooth. But when you look and the research that I've made, for example, in the United States, the fluoridation is more than here in the UK. But you can still see that the tooth decay is still on the rise. If you want to stop with tooth decay, you need to stop eating all this processed food full of sugar, refined sugar, I should say, and all that. And when you look at fluoride, basically it's been used to kill Jewish people during the Second World War. Mm-hmm. It killed rodents, and it's been linked to cancer. So really, really, fluoride is really bad. That's why I ask people to use a water filter when they are at home, to use a water filter. And when they want to buy the toothpaste, they need to make sure that it's fluoride free, because fluoride is not a good component. It's really bad. It's linked to cancer.
Yeah. You know, I found years ago that, you know, I didn't know about the fluoride, but I had switched toothpaste a long time ago to an Ayurvedic toothpaste that has Veeam in it. So it did make a bit of a difference. I was a little surprised when I read that in your book about the fluoride. I'm like, but you know what else was surprising in the book that you talk about is BPA. Yeah. And you know, I've heard it mentioned here and there, but tell us a little bit about BPA and what that is.
Yeah. So basically the BPA, it's a substance used to harden plastics. And BPA is an industrial chemical which disrupts the hormonal balance in the body by mimicking the estrogen. And when it mimics the estrogen, it's going basically to, it's been linked to cancer. Because like I've told you, even from the milk, when you mess up with the estrogen, an increase in estrogen is linked to cancer. And that's why the BPA does. It mimics the estrogen. And when you look as well, you will see that BPA is in all the plastics, the plastic containers, the baby bottles, even the contact lenses. When you buy, for example, canned food, the inside, they put a coating of BPA. So BPA is everywhere. Mm-hmm. And people need really, really to start using only glass containers or plastic containers, but which are BPA free.
Right.
So BPA really, really is a dangerous stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So you also mention in your book the importance of drinking plenty of water. Were you always a water drinker before, or after you switched, did you become more of a water drinker?
Yeah, after, because before what I was drinking, it was just soda. So for example, at midnight, around midnight, I will have my bottle of Coca-Cola and I will drink that. So basically that's what I was drinking, Coca-Cola or energy drink and stuff like that. But now that I've known that these drinks are really bad for the human health, I drink more water. Yeah. And basically what people need to understand is that our bodies is 72% water. Right. And a lot of functions to be executed need water. For example, when we are talking, we are losing water. When we are you are sweating, you will lose water. When you you have to digest the food, you need water. All the stomach juices and all this stuff need water. So a lot of functions need water to be you need water for this function to be executed. And no other drinks can replace water. No other drinks.
Right.
Yes. Right. People need to be clear about that. No other drinks can replace water.
Right. And tea and coffee isn't water.
No, not at all. And when you look at coffee, for example, it's a diuretic, which means that it will make you lose water and you will become dehydrated. And that's not good. And it will affect your nervous system as well. So people really should stop with coffee.
Right. Did you also drink coffee and before you?
Yes. I was drinking coffee all the time. Yeah.
Yeah. It is a huge, you know, it's a huge part of, you know, our everyday routine here in the United States.
Yeah.
Is coffee and having coffee. And I think it causes a lot of acid reflux.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And a lot of people are sick from it. So another thing that you talk about is breathing fresh air. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, because when you look in our homes, it's very toxic. Mm-hmm. And when you look, you will see there are lots of studies which have been done, which prove that the inside air is 2 to 5 times more toxic than the outside air. And why is that? It's because we use all the air fresheners, we use the cleaning product that we use in our home, the deodorant, the perfume, we've got the electrical devices, the wireless devices. All these are not conductive to good health. So what people need to do, they need to spend more time outside, obviously weather permitting. But they need to go and take fresh air outside, because in our homes it's very toxic. And something else that they can do is, when the weather is good, to always open the windows, the doors, so to have a good ventilation. That's very good. People need to understand that as well. So being in home, it's more toxic than being outside.
Exactly. And, you know, I used to be in a network operations center for my work. And so, you know, it was a 24/7 operation and windowless room in an office building. And people in that room had allergies and all kinds of issues that came up. And it was, we kept saying, there's something wrong with this building.
Because there's no ventilation, there's no air, and air in the trap air is very toxic.
Yeah.
Even if you use the AC and stuff like that, you need fresh air. That's what you need.
Exactly. Yeah. And also away from fluorescent lighting, because fluorescent lighting, when they do kinesthetic testing, fluorescent lighting can actually, you know, have an effect on you. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing. But fresh air is better. And also sunlight is better, isn't it?
Yeah, sunlight is better, because you see, the way we have been brainwashed is we've been told that sun gives cancer. But when you look, first of all, with the sun, we get the vitamin D. With the vitamin D, we get that through our hair, our eyes, and our skin. And for example, by wearing sunglasses, you're not going to get the vitamin D through your eyes. And there's something which is called photons. These photons will come from the sun, get through your eyes, and get transformed into electrical impulses. And your brain will use that to do other functions. So again, by wearing sunglasses, you're not going to get those important photons. So That's why, for example, myself, I don't wear sunglasses anymore. And the way we've been brainwashed is that sun gives cancer. But when we look at our forefathers, they spend most of the time outdoors and there were no incidents of cancer. What gives people cancer is the stuff that they eat, the stuff that they put in their skin and on their hair. And like, for example, the sunscreen, we've been told that we need to put sunscreen, but sunscreen has got loads of carcinogen substances like the 4-MBC, the avobenzone, the oxinoxate, the mosolate. All these are carcinogen substances, which are that you find in this product. And for example, food companies who use the same product, we see their licenses revoked immediately. But for some reason, you're allowed to put that on your skin. And like I keep saying, whatever you put on your skin goes straight into your bloodstream without filtering of any kind. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, sunlight is very, very important.
Mm-hmm. So another thing that you mentioned in the book that you can deal without is stress. Talk a little bit about how stress affects people's bodies and what kind of hormones it produces.
Yeah. So basically what's happened is that a lot of people in the society in which we're living, basically people are really beyond success. They want to sacrifice whatever they can just to have maybe lots of money or to live like other people. For example, you have a normal car, but because you see your neighbors, for example, has bought a new car, you want a new car as well, while you don't even need that. And what will happen, you will take maybe two or three jobs just to be able to buy that car. Mm-hmm. And what's happened when you are you've got lots of debts, you need to pay them, you will be under stress. And when you're under stress, basically what will happen, your body will produce adrenaline and cortisol in excess. The adrenaline will mess up your heartbeat, your heart will start beating irregularly, and the cortisol will impair your immune system. And the only thing that protects us, it's the immune system. It's the only line of defense. So when you impair your immune system, basically you'll be open to any kind of diseases. Mm-hmm. So you really, really need to avoid being under stress.
Now, when you started your journey to plant-based nutrition, did you also do other things to get rid of stress?
Yeah. So now, for example, I meditate every day. Every day I meditate, I do my meditation, and every day I do what is called gratitude. As soon as I wake up, because I've been able to wake up, I'm not dead. I'm grateful for that. I'm really grateful. I'm grateful to see my wife. I'm grateful to see my kids. I'm grateful to learn that my parents, my brothers and sisters, they are all good. I'm really grateful for that. I don't really see material things. Yes, material things are good. It's good to have them. But you need to be grateful, first of all, for what you've got. The simple fact of being alive is you need to be grateful for that. So I've learned all this stuff to try and reduce my level of stress. And I try not to worry about lots of things. I try to live in the present, mm-hmm. in the present moment. If something is past, I will just learn a lesson from maybe a mistake that I've made in my past. And I'm trying to live in the present moment. I don't try to live in the future where you can ask yourself, am I going to pay this? For example, I've got these debts I need to pay. I just don't do that. I live mm-hmm. in the present moment. And this has really, really decreased my level of stress.
Yes. So now you help other people with nutrition and with weight loss. And how has that changed you? How has that been going for you?
Yeah, it's been a really humbling experience mm-hmm. where you can help people. Because when I learned all these things for my life, I thought that I didn't want to be, not to share that experience to other people, because I've discovered that it's possible to live a disease-free life. Mm-hmm. Because what we've been told that when you grow up, when you age, you need to be sick, which is not correct. When I started this journey, I was 46. Now I'm 51, and my life is a lot better. Mm-hmm. no chronic diseases and stuff. So that's why I just wanted to share this experience with people so that they can transform their lives. And with my coaching program, a lot of people are sending me messages where their life have been improved. And this is really, really humbling. It's very good to learn that people can better their life just by changing their way of eating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So have you had a lot of great response to your book? You know, it's a great read. It's not very long, but it is packed with information. Have you had a great response from your book?
Yes. See, for example, you look in on Amazon, there are some reviews where people are really happy, and or some people called me or they sent me emails where they say that it was very, very good. Because when I wrote my book, I didn't want to make a big book, because lots of people, when you've got a big book, just by the look of it, you're already disappointed. You don't want even to finish that. Right. So that's why I said I want to make not a big book, but packed with useful information so that people can finish that in one sitting and learn a lot to change their lives.
Exactly. Yeah. And it was life-changing. It did make me think a great deal about changing some of the things that, you know, that I've been accustomed to that, you know, that probably need to be changed. So since it's Sunday, so a lot, you know, I think it's a tradition in America and probably the UK, every Sunday, you know, it's a big meal, big family meal. And we're used to, you have the Sunday roast and you have your potatoes. But instead of a roast, what do your family choose on Sunday?
Yeah, for example, we can have, for example, just simple things. It's not anymore like we used to do. For example, we can have some potatoes with some beans and mushrooms. We can have some sweet potatoes with lentils and spinach. We can have some brown rice with aubergine, with chickpeas and kale. So we just eat things like that. Yeah. Yes. And so if you cook that correctly with the nice, the correct ingredient, it's really, really tasty. Basically, nice. I don't miss all the food that I used to eat before.
Very nice.
Yeah, I don't miss that, no.
Well, Oliver, we're wrapping up here. In the moments we have left, tell us your website so people can find you.
Yeah, if people want to find me, they go to oliviermancondo.com. That's oliviermancondo.com. They can go over there. And basically, I've got a plant-based nutrition membership club where I support members to lose weight and achieve optimal health. So they can go and see all of that in my website.
Well, again, the book is called The Plant-Based Nutrition, How It's Going to Change Your Life. And Oliver, I can't tell you how glad I am to have met you and to have had the opportunity to speak to you. I enjoyed your book and I highly recommend it to our listeners. It will open your eyes to new ways of thought and new ways of preparing food. That is going to do it for us on the New Bridge Radio Show. Join us next week and we will have another thought-provoking guest for you. And we want to thank you and wish you good night. Take care.
WLTK DB. Let's talk.